Apollo 10, over.
Go ahead, Apollo 10.
Roger, Bruce. Is Charlie there? I want to talk to him for just a minute, over.
Yes, indeed.
Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Charlie. Right, just wanted to, we're finally getting a chance to settle down. Just wanted to amplify one thing that happened back there at staging on Snoopy. You were right on that switch position, but, you know, on a three-position switch, we finally figured it out later on up around CSI. We went through the procedures okay, but I was floating up a little bit and had one restraint harness down. You know how you can look in a simulator if you're in different positions? Now the switch positions look in different positions, over?
Right.
Okay, well, I put my finger on the switch, and I was floating up a little bit and looked down. It looked like it was an at hold. But if you scrunch down a little bit, you see it. Turned out it was in the other position. But anyway, as soon as it happened, we caught it and real fast avoided the gimbal lock and got all squared away for the burn within about 30 seconds. So might pass that on to Chris and Deke. And we went through the procedure as outlined and my finger was on the switch and everything. But just the fact, you know, like in the command module, you look at the at one, rate two switch, and from where you're sitting, it can be either in rate two or at one, rate two, over.
Roger, we copy, Tom. We thought it was a great recovery, and we'll pass this on, over.
Yeah, Roger, our procedures were right, and we were in a limb with those hoses. You ride a little high, and I was held down with one restraint harness at the time, so it's kind of my tiptoes, and I looked down and put my finger on the switch, and the line was lined up with that hole. But if you actually get down lower, you know, quite a bit lower, you see that it's lined up there, and normally on three-position switches, you know, you don't flip them back and forth all the way to justify position, over.
Roger, Tom, copy that. I know it's real easy to do, and we'll pass this on, it was, all I can add is just a great recovery, so everything was, came out real great, and you guys did a great job. Over.
Roger, thank you, Charlie. Yeah, well, we were like Speedy Gonzales there, and we were squared away in attitude, and real fast made a pitch in to avoid the red cherry, and bang, we were over in the attitude back again in about 30 seconds, 40 seconds, and all set to go. Over.
Roger.
Like in here right now, it looks like the B-mags are uncaged, but they are in fact caged. It's just the way those switches look.
Roger, we copy. We figured something like that happened. We figured something like that was going to happen. Go ahead, Gene. I'm cutting you out. Excuse me.
I'm sorry. Things were getting a little slow at that point anyway. We thought we'd add to the excitement.
They really added to it, I'll tell you that.
Hey, Charlie, this is Tom again. I want to say... All right, you're sorry about cutting you out, but I just want to say again that we thought you did a great job on Capcom along with the support people getting the pads up to both spacecraft and coordinated. I know that you're like the left-handed paper hanger and everything else, but it really worked out smooth that day, and I think we really tested the total system, over.
Thank you, Tom.
That was really beautiful.
Okay, thanks a lot, you guys. I know we had a lot of good guys in the room here looking at it that day, and it was a great team effort all the way around. You guys did a great job, and we're just real pleased to be part of the flight. It was really a great day last Thursday.
Yeah, what I appreciated was that quick recovery from that state vector. They zapped me a new one like nothing flat. That was beautiful.
With the trenches all listening, we'll pass it on to the guys, and I agree with you. They guys were really on top of everything throughout the whole day.
Charlie, another thing about the LEM, we'll discuss, of course, at length, but you know that... S-band antenna worked far, far better than I ever thought it would, and I think it worked far better than a lot of people thought it would.
So we were certainly pleased with the operation of the steerable. The comm was really fantastic. Our only bad pass was during phasing, and we were, of course, disappointed in that pass of comm. I've heard a... heard something that that we might have had a side lobe lock on there, but it's not been confirmed yet. We were disappointed with the Omnis a little bit, but not too much.
Well, the capability of the high gain to lock on and go to auto track with a fairly decent signal was great. That was just tremendous.
Well, it looked like old Snoop performed in a great style throughout the whole day. Over.
How's he doing now? Is he still on his way?
Last we saw him, he was on his way towards the sun, but we lost him at about 121 hours or thereabouts. He was still perking along.
Well, we've got an American flag, and every state in the Union's got a flag in Snoop going around the sun.
That's great news, Chen. Just went by to visit the gals, and everybody's in great shape on the home front. Over.
Very good, thank you.
Ken, Houston, if you got a couple of more minutes to talk, the back room would like to know, I got some questions for you so they can get one leg up on Limb 5. First one concerns on the operation of the Limb steerable antenna during the phasing burn pass. It has three parts to it. I'll ask the first part. What were the circumstances surrounding loss of S-band steerable from AOS to the phasing burn on Rev 13? Over.
Charlie, I don't know what the circumstances were, but we had good lock when we came on down, and good S-band lock, and I could hear, you can hear that S-band tracking because of the noise it makes, and I heard it tracking, and then I got somewhere down in there in the process of our comments and photography work and what have you. I heard us losing lock, and I went down there to look at it, and I tried to tune it up. Went to manual, tried to tune it up, and I'm not sure whether we had the capability of calling a verb 64, but I played with it a little bit there for a minute or so. I couldn't do that. I went to Omni's so that we at least would have voice with you, and then I guess it was after the phasing pass where I had a breather, then I went back and we called up Earth 64 and I got high gain lock again, and that's really all I can tell you.
That's fine, Gene. Second part of the question was, what was your procedure when the antenna went into the stops and the circuit breaker popped? Over.
Well, when it inadvertently went into stops, I put it at pitch 90 zero, pushed in the circuit breaker, and it pumped right around at 90 and zero, and we started over again. That happened about three times. I think once during a P-52, or twice during a P-52, and one other time. I think it drove itself into the stops one time when it shouldn't have.
Roger, we copy. One further question on the antenna. When did you switch to the auto mode? Was it within about 1 minute after AOS on that phasing burn pass? Over.
The horn, and procedurally, you know, I came around in Omni's, and I heard John give you a go for DOI, and then I gave you the DOI burn report, and it was after that that we went to high gain lock.
Roger.
So we had a good high gain lock there for a while. I believe you were getting high bit rate data.
That's affirmative. I'm pretty sure we were. the telecom's not here now, of course, but we can run back by them. But I'm pretty sure, if I recall the circumstances, we had high bit rate during the early part of that phasing pass. I know we did, because we got you a state vector in, and I read, that was the rev before. But anyway, I can remember seeing some high bit rate data, and then at some time we lost it, and I don't know why. That about exhausts our knowledge on that question. The other one was the a two-part question on the drinking water. Was the gas noted in the limb water only during the initial use of the system? Over.
It was initially when I first went in the first day. There's no question about it. It got less and less, but I think even after we egressed, we took some good gulps of water, and there were still some bubbles in it.
Roger, we copy. Second part was any gas noted in the command module potable tank prior to diverting fuel cell water into the potable tank? Over.
Charlie, did you read that?
Gene, I must have cut you out. I was asking B part on the limb water, a correction on the command module potable water. Was any gas noted in the command module potable water prior to diverting fuel cell water in the potable tank? Over.
Roger, Charlie. That was, in fact, when he started to take our first drink of the water that had been serviced at the Cape. It was as bad as it's been ever since. In fact, it might have been worse than the first day. So the first service lead that they gave it at the Cape probably did not have deaerated water, or was not deaerated properly, because, in fact, there was tremendous amounts of air in that water when he first started to drink it after TLI. Over.
Roger, we copy, Ken. Final question. That written down here was on a VHF Simplex A. Did Simplex A come on immediately upon switching from Simplex B to Simplex A when you rechecked behind the moon on the 12th rev? Over.
That's a firm.
Sure did.
That's a firm, Charlie. And as soon as we got Simplex A, we went ahead and tried the LIM Duplex A, Command Module Duplex B capability from the LIM. Not in the voice range yet, but just the voice, just to make sure we could get that duplex mode for the ranging capability, and that also worked.
Fine, great show. I don't understand what was wrong with it when we first tried to check it, but we're sure happy that it fixed itself, because the ranging really looked like it worked like a champ during the whole rendezvous. I got a question. What exactly had the AGS started... you off in attitude before you staged, or as you staged, or right before you staged? Over.
Okay. You know, our procedure, I throw the staging switch after Gene thrusts. We call P-47, and Gene thrusts forward 2 feet per second. Then as he starts, starts aft 2 feet per second, then just as he starts forward, I throw the switch. Okay, what happened? It started to go off a little bit as we started aft, and then as he started forward and I threw the switch, we got on the ascent stage, it just took off. And then that's when I grabbed the hand controller and avoided the gimbal lock and got squared away. But it was just, you know, the limb is actually, it has sharper maneuvers in the simulator. We noticed that right away. So the basic deviation that it started in didn't alarm us too much, just when it started, you know, wiggling a little bit. We thought that this might happen. But then... Right. Well, the whole mass of that descent stage, it started off a little bit, but it was so slow, we didn't notice that we wanted to go ahead and get the staging. But when we staged and went to the ascent stage, it really went bang in a hurry. Over.
Okay, Tom, thanks a bunch. It was really a fill-in for just me, and also Fido was curious as to... what kind of delta V we gave to the descent stage when we separated. That clears that point up. That's all we got for you for right now. If you guys can think of anything else that you'd like to pass on that we could get a leg up on, we'd appreciate it. Over.
Okay, Charlie, I've got one. And it was the same squawk as noted on 79. pardon me, I mean Apollo 9, that kind of dates me, doesn't it? On the limb on the right arrow needles. You know, they squawked that when the right arrow needles were zero, actually you had some rates. Well, we tried to get that calibrated, you know, in the testing there at JSC. When I got in flight, I found that's why I used a little more fuel, particularly during the landing radar test. I had pulsed the arrow needles into zero, but I'd have rates. And right at the last, we calibrated them before docking. And when the spacecraft had zero rates, my yaw right arrow needle was about 0.3 degrees to the right. What I'd estimate the pitch was 0.2 down, and the roll was about 0.2. So when I came down for the landing radar pass, and I don't know if you can see my disky on Verb 83, I was trying to pulse in the holder just as close as I could to take some pictures. I'd zero the needles, and the thing would start to go off right away. They don't have to get back on it. But that is one thing that definitely needs to be corrected. And again, the main thing that it costs you is fuel. Over.
Roger, we got that. Thank you much, Tom. I always under impression those needles were supposed to should have been zero except when power off, but it looks like we had problems just like as you say, just like 9 did. By the way, I don't know whether you've heard, but the landing radar appears to have worked like a champ. We had, as far as I can tell, we still had indications of lock on it about 68,000 feet over.
Roger, good show up. You know, we had some time there, so what I did was turn the radar on early and pick up that attitude. And as soon as I pitched down, boom, I could see the tape meter started to drive, and also the velocity started to go the other. Well, of course, the velocity didn't lock on to later, but right away it looked like we had the altitude lock on way higher than we expected. Over.
Roger. Thank you much, Dan. That's all we have for you right now, Al.
Charlie, I got another thing on the S-band, LEM S-band signal strength. It appeared that any time you call up the angles, and all the angles that we had pre-programmed in the flight plan and the Verb 64s were excellent, but it appears that anywhere between 3.4 and 3.6, if you got that kind of signal strength and went to auto, she'd acquire and pop right up to about 4.3 or 4.4 on the signal strength meter. But even better than that, if you call up the angles and you could tune it in manually very easy from that 3.4, 3.6 well into the 4.0 region, and then of course go to auto track and popped up to about 4.3. So that was very encouraging also. One other question that puzzles me. I updated the AGs prior to undocking with the pings, and I could never get the theta out of address 304 in the AGS to agree with Verb 83 as a check on the update. I then updated the AGS two more times before we undocked, and it still disagreed by some 20 to 30 degrees. As soon as we undocked, I checked those angles again, and by golly, they were perfect, and the AGS held a good update for a long time. So I don't understand what the problem was prior to undocking.
Roger, we haven't found the answer to that one, Gene. You passed that on to us right as you came around AOS, and we've been working on it, but we haven't heard the answer for on that one. We're still working that one, over.
Okay, and in the lunar environment, never once did 407 go to 10,000. It stayed zeros all the time, which was expected, but contrary to Earth orbit environment.
All right, that's good news. Thank you, bunch.